In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, October 1st, 2014, and we're talking about health care in a non-boring way today, thanks to documentary filmmaker Colin Gunn, whose new film, Wait Till It's Free, is very much worth your time. We can write all the articles in the world we want to about health care, but you are not going to reach people on this subject unless you get to them at a gut level. Unless you get to them at an emotional level as well. And he has accomplished this, in my judgment, in this film. He's given us stories about real people, but he's also given us the statistics. He's given us the arguments. It is so well done. I am so thrilled to feature him. The documentary was partially crowdfunded on Kickstarter, which is heartwarming. People knew this needed to be done, and now it has been done. Wait Till It's Free is what it's called. Colin Gunn is the filmmaker, and I have a funny feeling you're going to be able to tell when I bring him on that he's from Scotland. He lives now in Texas with his wife and 9 children. Colin Gunn, welcome to the show.
Oh, Tom, thanks. Thank you for having me on. It's great to talk to you.
I had numerous people write to me. Well, including you yourself, saying that I should look at this documentary of yours and then consider having you on the program. So I did, and the documentary is called Wait Till It's Free. I don't want to steal your thunder here, so you tell people, what are you talking about? Wait till what's free, and why?
Well, we're warning people about the danger of the word free. You know, everyone likes that. I'm a Scotsman, so free is one of our favorite words, you know. But the problem with free is it actually comes at another cost, and there's a considerable issue in relation to healthcare, which is the subject of our movie. If you want free healthcare, well, that's an interesting notion, but it comes at a considerable cost to you. And, of course, when we look at, you know, socialized medicine across the world, particularly in my homeland of Scotland, where I'm from, that you realize the true cost of what free is when you have a government-controlled healthcare system. The problems that come from that are so catastrophic that that's what we're trying to warn people about. Let's not try and push towards free healthcare. It's an illusion anyway. We like the feeling of it, but it just doesn't exist. The costs are just too high. So that's what our film is about. We're warning people about socialized medicine, but we're also highly critical of what's going on in this country. Because in this country, we've actually got something that's almost worse than socialized medicine. We have a crony capitalist system, which is a combination of bad socialist ideas, but this form of cartelization of the hospital industry, the insurance industry, and big pharma. We have a disaster here. So we're pointing out that the true solution is medical liberty. And that is the purpose of our film, is to show that there is this option that is actually very exciting to me and many of the people in our film that talk about the issue of socialized medicine. There's this solution to this problem. So that sums up, I think, the idea of what our film is about.
You can find a lot of articles online talking about free market medicine, but I would say that your film is vastly more effective in conveying these ideas because they put human faces on the problem. The very beginning of the film, you meet real, ordinary people, and you hear about their health difficulties, and then you see the staggering figures they're expected to pay in terms of medical bills. You get real faces, and then you talk to real doctors, real medical professionals, who talk about the real problems that they face as well. This is so much more effective than anything I have ever written on this subject. I cannot emphasize enough how valuable this is, because this can actually get people thinking the right way. It seems too abstract and too neat and tidy when we write free market articles about medical care, but the way you've done it, I just can't say enough about it. First of all, do you have a website for it?
Yeah, you can go to WTIfree.com and you can get the film there, but you can also go to ColinGunn.com, which is my personal website, and we have the film available there in DVD format. And you can also get our other films, because I've been making movies for about 10 years now. We've covered education and many other topics. And you know, what you said is really our goal. Why do we make documentaries? And we believe that the people respond to stories. You know, they're driven by stories. And when you see someone state something, and you see the reality of it, and you see the problems of the doctors. In the film, we have a doctor retiring. And I think, you know, I'm experiencing it because I'm filming it. But what we're trying to do is engender the sympathy for real problems that we talk in the abstract, and then we're still, we talk in just political punditry. And we don't have any of that in our film. We're just pointing people towards the reality of the stories about healthcare, and then give them real solutions. And so that, I think documentaries are excellent in that way of just convincing people that these stories really matter. It is not about politics. And we honestly don't see many political solutions other than just limiting the power of, or stopping the intrusion of government into the healthcare sphere. So I hope our film helps people at least in that way to get motivated by real, true life stories.
Well, you made a good point right at the beginning that a lot of people seem to think that we have two choices, really. We have either the kinds of systems that we see in Europe, or we have the existing system today. I mean, I suppose Obamacare is a way station between the two, but that's really what we're choosing from. But your point in the film is that in this discussion, there is a very, very important option that is simply being left out.
Yeah, and so we talked to Dr. Keith Smith in Oklahoma, who I know you know about.
Yep.
You talked about him on your show. I'm a huge fan of Keith Smith, and he says in the film a great line where he just says, I just decided one day that I just simply wasn't going to work with the government anymore. And that's a form of, you know, personal secession, which, you know, being Scottish, I love the idea of secession.
I should have had you on for that. Why didn't I think of that? I should have had you. All right, look, when that comes up again, I want you to understand you are officially lined up as my guest.
Well, I'm happy to do that. But what we're talking about, and I encouraged my Scots, you know, brothers, you know, look, you didn't get secession, but don't worry. You can personally you can secede from most things anyway. We've done it with homeschooling where we said, oh, your public school systems are bad. And we're not even going to waste our time trying to reform them. They're that bad. We're just going to homeschool. We're just going to leave, and we're going to go to private schools or homeschool. And there's a healthcare situation that's like that too, where the doctors are just like, I'm not going to work with them. I'm not going to take third-party pay because the insurance companies are a mess. I'm not going to work with the government. I'm going to do my own thing. And there's a patient equivalent of that as well, where we decide, you know, I don't want to buy into insurance policies that fund things I don't like. I don't want to be working with the government controlling or knowing everything about me. I'm just going to go this other way and personally secede and do my own thing. But I'm going to take a lot of personal responsibility in that. I'm going to be responsible for my family. I'm going to be responsible for the poor voluntarily in some circumstances. And that's this great thing that we actually in America, and this is why I like being in America, is that we still have a lot of liberty to do those things.
Let me raise with you an objection that I raised with another guest. I think it was the fellow who runs the self-pay patient blog. For the sake of devil's advocate here, let's recall in May of this year, 2014, we had our fifth daughter, and she had to be in neonatal intensive care for, I think, an 11-day period. And my wife and I, were convinced this was overkill. Like, this is clearly some regulatory requirement or something. It made no sense. And they said, well, she has to flourish. She has to be fed successfully a certain number of times. We assured her this would happen far more successfully in our home, which indeed it did. Events have since proven us 1,000 times right. That's not the point. The point is, we got the bill later, and the bill came to $42,000. Now, the insurance took off between discount, you know, they have agreements with the hospitals and they get reduced rates, and then they kick in their own subsidy and everything. They got it down to about $3,000. We wound up paying about $3,000 out of pocket. But no matter what kind of cost sharing mechanism you have, or being just a very informed self-pay patient, how would you possibly be able to handle a bill of such staggering scope?
Well, in the film, you know that we talk about the issue of the high bills first, you know, so that we have the commentator Stephen Brill, who wrote the wonderful article Bitter Pill in Time magazine, and he talked about the first question is not who pays, which is often the big issue politically. He talks about why are the bills so high in the first place, and when we're talking about the actual cost of healthcare, what you find is that a lot of the time the costs are massively inflated, and so those artificial numbers, those 40,000 or 100 or 300,000, those numbers are completely fabricated, and there's incentives within the hospital insurance industry to make those as high as possible so the hospital industry actually benefits from the difference between what is actually paid and the high price of the bills that they send out to people that they know can't pay, and the government picks up the difference. The hospital industry benefits too, in that they get a percentage of the markdown between the artificially high inflated number and what they actually get paid. So there's this crazy system that we've developed, which is a part third party. Now, we're not completely objecting. Third party can obviously exist in the free market, and there's multiple avenues for that. I like the idea of self-pay and cost-sharing ministries that I'm involved in. I think that's the best example that I've found within the free market. But insurance isn't excluded from a free market option. But the problem is that the insurance industry, as it stands, isn't really a true free market system that's set up with a true evaluation of risk. You know, the insurance industry is essentially broken in a lot of ways. And the problem with buying insurance as it stands is you are often paying for a lot of things you don't want or will ever need. There's lots of things that the insurance companies are mandated, especially under Obamacare, they're mandated to cover this, that, and the next thing, and you're really not pricing appropriately that a free market insurance industry would. So there's reasons why those big bills exist, and people have to have a lot of wisdom in how they go around making sure that they're covered essentially for these large bills. But the reasons for those big bills in the first place are there because of the way we've decided to pay for healthcare. And that's somewhat a premise of the film. How you pay for healthcare has everything to do with the type of service that you receive. So if you go the insurance route, well, that actually has consequences. And I think we cover a few of those ideas in the film.
Well, how did we get on this wrong path to start with? Where did the American healthcare system go wrong? Because obviously something has gone wrong.
Well, we like to make it clear that things didn't get bad with Obamacare. You know, so political pundits, that's the disaster that's happened. And that's just, in my mind, the doubling down and all of the terrible ideas that we've had for 100 years. So, you know, everything that's gone bad in healthcare has been a progression of bad decisions. And starting from, you know, beginning of licensing of professionals, which excluded many people from the healthcare realm and created an artificial shortage of people that supply medical service. And then, you know, we progressed into, you know, collectivism through the New Deal. And then we started to push, you know, employer insurance. That sort of became the standard during the wage freeze during the Second World War. The companies weren't allowed to raise wages, so they started using incentives, including employee coverage. That became that ended up with tax benefits, which resulted in it being the standard for most people. So you ended up with this weird circumstance where people were locked in jobs and couldn't get insurance unless they got a job with insurance. And that's been a sort of mark of the American system for so long. And then, of course, we had Medicare and Medicaid. And then we had a bunch of other bad decisions, you know, HIPAA and EMTALA and all these crazy ideas that have come along. And of course, each politician is progressively saying the system is broken and we're going to fix it. And that's what they've all said for the last 50 years. And we're here today with this gigantic mess. And it's discouraging in one way. But as I said in the film, there's an exit strategy that we're trying to encourage people towards. It's the personal responsibility of letting capitalism work in our country, which it can do, doctors finding medical liberty. So that's the story we're telling in the film, and we have a whole timeline of healthcare and what the intrusions have been and the consequence that those intrusions have been for the patient. One of the points of the film is whatever you do to the doctor with all of these regulations, you do to the patient. So when I started this movie, I thought this was a patient story because that sort of engenders the most sympathy. And if you watch Michael Moore's Sicko, it's all mainly about the patient. But I realized this is a doctor story as well, and we have to grant liberty to the doctor for the sake of the patient too. So that's what we're trying to communicate in this film.
Now, there is, I've had on this show Dale Bellis from Liberty HealthShare, and he's running one of these HealthShare ministries in which people are technically, and for regulatory purposes, not getting an insurance policy, but nevertheless, they feel as if they are, we might say, covered. Describe for us what these kinds of institutions are doing for people, because you do spend a little time in the film talking about this as one of the potential ways out, even in the age of Obamacare, when we feel as if government involvement is getting greater and greater and the avenues for opting out are getting narrower and narrower. This is an option.
Well, it's exciting to see this, and it's one of the only good things about Obamacare is that there was the exemption given to cost-sharing ministries effectively, but other people are using that exemption for the purpose of providing a way to pay for health needs without using the insurance model. And it's a very interesting scenario for me because personally that's what I use. And what it does is, or at least the group that I'm a member of, Samaritan Ministries, what you're doing is you're not sending your money to a big giant insurance company that then, you know, will argue with you about, you know, sending it back to you when you have a need. What's going on there is other members of the ministry are subsidizing your healthcare costs, and so they're sending you directly money from their own accounts to your account to cover your healthcare costs, and you just submit your needs to the headquarters, and they're sent out to these other members. So it's a little bit unusual, and it takes a little bit of time for people to understand what's going on there. But there's a couple of benefits to that. One is you're not locked into this insurance industry with this corporate, you know, hard-edged circumstance where you just don't really know if you're going to get that money back. The second part is you're only sending checks off to people with genuine needs. You're not funding things that the insurance industry has become obligated to pay for. And there's a lot of things I could list that, you know, genuinely a lot of people just don't want to pay for. They're things that they might find are immoral, or they might just disagree that it's something that's effective. And the model of the cost-sharing ministry, they're not tied to all the insurance industry regulations. There's a lot of liberty there. And there's also a form of, you know, compassion and camaraderie where you know that you're sending this check to someone who has a genuine need and you have an idea what the need is and you're happy to do it. So it's very different than the insurance model, but the great benefit is it's something that has been able to pay all of our healthcare needs, and we've had quite a few kids now and we've been able to have all of them through Samaritan Ministries, through these cost-sharing ministries, and there's just this remarkable amount of liberty. An example of the liberty that you can have is that you can choose exactly the kind of health care that you want. For example, we have a home birth, and home birth is 100% covered. Just if we wanted to go to the hospital, it would be 100% paid for as well. And so there's these opportunities that it's very hard to control your health care under the insurance model.
What about for doctors? What are the options that are available for doctors? I guess we do hear from time to time about doctors who have opted out of the Medicare system, for example. But what else can they do, and why would a doctor feel it necessary to try to escape from the current system?
Well, the first one is the bureaucracy of all, and just dealing with the government is a decidedly unpleasant experience, and we all know that from our own lives with the DMV and all the rest of it, but these doctors are massively burdened. You know, everyone knows when they've gone to the doctor in the hospital now that it's very common that they won't even look at you in the eye, they'll be staring at a laptop. Well, the reason they're doing that is it's not because they're studying your charts, it's because they have to get everything right to get the codes right so that they can get paid either by the insurance company or by government. So what's happening there is this big wedge has been driven between the patient and the provider. And these doctors, and if you see our film, you'll notice two things about the doctors that have got off of the third-party pay system, the government system. The most notable thing is they're the happiest two doctors in the movie. And so when you see Keith Smith and you see Jules Madrigal, you realize, well, they seem happy, and they are, because they've restored the vision which drove them into medicine in the first place, and that is just to serve the patient and no other. So they're not worrying about the government and the third-party pay system. They're just serving the patient and their needs, and that's remarkable. And what we're seeing with, you know, Jules in her film is a doctor in Marble Falls, Texas. People that kind of qualify for Medicaid don't go to the Medicaid clinic. They'd rather come and pay Jules cash for a service that she provides because they know that she'll take care of them and they have a relationship with her. The same is true for Keith Smith Clinic in Oklahoma, where people are flying down from Canada where they have free healthcare supposedly, and they're coming down to Keith Smith because they don't want to wait in line and they know that they want to get a good quality service. And so that is what we're seeing. It's a revolution that's happening in our country, and we have the liberty to do it. So I'm very thankful for these doctors who are getting out of that system.
Now, Colin, I know this is a small matter in and of itself, but I think it's emblematic of the larger problems involved with government regulation. In your film, there's a discussion of, indeed, these codes that need to be used. And the codes are so bureaucratic and minute that there's a specific code for someone who has been bitten by a parrot for the first time, but then there's a separate code for someone who was bitten by a macaw. Because, of course, the health consequences would be vastly different. There's a specific code for someone burned while water skiing. No normal person comes up with things like this. Now, it seems to me you could partner very nicely with a documentary like this, working with somebody like Jane Orient and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, or the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and I've featured her on this program. Have you had outreach to some of these free market physicians out there?
Oh, absolutely. So we're big fans of Jane Orient. She appears in our film as well. And APPS as an organization, and we featured a lot of their doctors, in fact, and we were able to go and have a relationship. And that's where I kind of got the sympathy for the doctor. And that was when we started the film, we thought, oh, this is a patient story. But when we started to talk to the doctors, we started to see what a burden, you know, the ridiculousness of the intrusion into their lives, that they're worried about these codes, they're worried about getting codes wrong, even to the point that if they get things wrong, they can become criminals and get in a lot of trouble with the government. And it's a huge burden. So when we get to talk to these doctors and saw their problem, it really pushed me on to really see this film as a doctor's film, a film that shows that, you know, the doctors need to have we need to maximize the liberty that they have so that they can just do their job, simply provide the healthcare. That's why they got into it. You know, we cover the negative side of that with with doctors retiring, and it's really just because of the bureaucratic burden. Where we had a doctor who just had had all of his files stacked up behind him. He can't just quit his job. He's got to work. He's got to give all these files off to other doctors, and it's a huge expense. He was supposed to digitize them all, and then he realized the cost to do that, which was hundreds of thousands of dollars, wasn't worth it. So he just retired. And to me, that's a tragedy. When you have a guy who has a skill and his ability, as these doctors do, and they have a wealth of experience as they've worked into their 60s, and then they retire because of the bureaucratic burden. That's a tragedy to me, because doctors used to, you know, work until they drop. They used to, they only ever get better with their abilities because their skills just improved over time because of their knowledge. And this is what we're losing. We're seeing people retire from the medical profession because of the bureaucratic burden. So we're encouraging doctors to get this film and screen it and show it to, you know, let people see it so that they can have a defense for maybe making a decision themselves to get off of the government dole and get independent of the third-party pay system as well.
One last thing. I know that, because I talked to Dale Bellis about his program, I know that these health share ministries, are indeed a kind of a loophole in Obamacare, but there has to be some kind of religious element to it, or does it just have to be some kind of ethical element? Like, could a bunch of, ethical humanists get together and say, we're going to have a health share ministry?
Well, I believe in a form of voluntary collectivism. You know, I like the idea of collectivism. A church is a form of collectivism, and Samaritan Ministries that I'm involved in is voluntary. You join it. And I think that if you don't agree with me ethically, then go ahead and anyone can start, this collective. I don't know about the law, but in terms of, you know, morally speaking, I think it's a good thing that people who have commonalities in terms of their lifestyle should consider each another's healthcare needs together. Certainly Christians have a very good reason for doing this, because we object to abortion. We have big questions over modern psychiatry. We have, you know, many things that we debate. But, you know, maybe someone might just not like the idea of paying for someone else's lap band surgery. You know, there's an example of something that may be covered by insurance, but you might be something that someone who, you know, might just think that's not something that should be covered. And so there's a form of voluntary collectivism that could exist as an alternative to insurance. And if the insurance industry worked, you know, well enough, then that would be sort of it. The problem is the insurance industry is so controlled by government codes that they don't have that liberty. So these cost-sharing models certainly could work for many different segments of our American community, in my mind.
Tell us one more time the website where people can find out about the film.
They can go to WTIfree.com. They can also go to Amazon and search for Wait Till It's Free, or they can go to my personal website, ColinGunn.com.
Okay, that's ColinGunn.com. Well, Colin, thanks for your time today. Thanks for doing this. This is a long time coming. I didn't realize how much we needed this until I watched it myself. And I'll be honest with you, I thought when I got it, I thought, well, I'm sure he did a good job on it, but I mean, I don't think I really want to watch something on healthcare. But yes, I did, it turns out. I absolutely did want to watch it. And I hope a lot of people out there will also watch it, spread it around, show it to people who need to see it, show it to physicians, maybe people who are on the fence about making a major life decision with regard to their careers, might make that leap once they watch this film. So thanks so much for that important work.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Okay, everybody, a few quick things. Make sure and check out my events in New York City and Boise, Idaho on October 11th and October 25th, respectively. You can get details about these events over on my events page at tomwoods.com, tomwoods.com/events. In just a minute, I'll get to what we're covering on the program tomorrow. But remember, if you like this program, if you get value from this program, and you're saying to yourself, how can I give back to that show that's given me so, so much? You can do so by becoming a supporting listener at supportinglisteners.com. And when you try to give back, I'm going to give you something back, namely the Tom Woods bag of goodies. You'll find actually four different bags of goodies at supportinglisteners.com, but it just doesn't come out as well. Bags of goodies doesn't work. It's the Tom Woods bag of goodies. You'll find special courses just for you guys. You'll find books. You'll find the homeschool courses that I'm creating for the Ron Paul homeschool program. Two of them are available through this thing. Discounts, all kinds of fun stuff waiting for you when you give something back to the show that has given you so, so much at supportinglisteners.com. Tomorrow, it's comedian David Angelo, who is fantastic and also does some tremendous YouTubes on economics. And he's even funnier than Bob Murphy, if you can believe that. So we'll have laughter and learning tomorrow on The Tom Woods Show. So make sure you're subscribed to the show over on iTunes or Stitcher. We've got easy subscription links over at the show site, TomWoodsRadio.com. See you tomorrow, everybody.
The Tom Woods Show.